Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Brahm Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadhyor Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shana Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanand. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadi Tulay Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamu. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Yavasesa Sanyavadi Paskachyade Satarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vikam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaditam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpati Vishakya Pasandavya Bhattapaditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So September 12, 2022 in Hillsboro, North Carolina, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39, Text 6. Aho asmada budhburi. Pitur vijina maryayo. Yadheto putra maranam. Yadheto bandhanam tayo. Aho. Ah. Asmat.
Asmat.
Because of me.
Because of me.
Adbhut.
Adbhut.
There was.
There was.
Bhuri.
Bhuri.
Great.
Great.
Pitro.
Pitro.
For my parents.
For my parents.
Vrijjinam.
Vrijjinam.
Suffering.
Suffering.
Aryayo.
Aryayo.
For the offenseless ones.
For the offenseless ones.
Yatheto. Because of whom. Putra
of their sons,
Maranam, the death,
Yathetho,
because of whom,
Bandhanam,
bondage, Tayoho,
there.
So this is Krishna speaking to Akura. BBT translation. Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. So which parents is he talking about? Devaki and Vasudeva. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned. BBT purport. Because Kamsa had heard a prophecy that the eighth son of Devaki would kill him, he tried to kill all her children. For the same reason, he imprisoned her and her husband, Vasudeva. Let's look at Sanatana Goswami's commentary. He remembered, he being Krishna, he remembered the suffering of his parents with himself as the cause and repents. Aho indicates lamentation. The plural is used to indicate Balaram and others or to respect those to whom he caused suffering. Yadheto is repeated to indicate that he was the sole cause. Does it sound peculiar? I am the cause. This gives a reason for going to Mathura and giving relief to Akura. So let's look at Jiva Goswami's, which is similar. Because of me, again Krishna speaking, Asmat, there has been much suffering from my parents. The plural is used to represent Krishna and said out of respect, or it can mean Krishna and Balaram. Asmados dvayoscha, the plural of Asmat, can indicate the singular or plural. Panini 1-59. Yad detaho is repeated to express that he is the sole cause of their suffering and because of his deep sense of repentance. Aho asmat adubhuri pitur virginam aryayo yad deto putramaranam yad detor bandhanam taiho. Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned. Well, this is ridiculous. How is it was Krishna's fault? And how was he the sole person at fault for the fact that his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, were imprisoned and their children were killed? How was he at fault? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that they were imprisoned and their children were killed? Kamsa's. It wasn't anybody else's fault except for Kamsa's. Kamsa is the sole person to blame here. The demigods had approached Lord Vishnu and said, we have rulers. Krishna Priya was talking yesterday about good and bad government. You know, we have these rulers who appear to be government, but actually they're demons. But Vishnu says, yes, I'll come and help. Appear on earth as my parents, my elders, and then I'll come. So they do, Vasudeva and Devaki, and so forth, appear on earth to facilitate the Lord's, at Kaur, of course, to facilitate the Lord's appearance, and the Lord appears. You could say it's the fault of the voice from the sky that said, Kamsa, you fool, like said in the purport from the Prabhupada's disciples in this PBT edition. Kamsa, you fool, the eighth child of your sister will kill you. It could be that, the fault of the voice from the sky that incited Kamsa to imprison, well, to want to kill Devaki. And then Vasudeva says, I'll bring your children. I'll bring my children for you. And Kamsa first said, no, I don't need these children. I only need the eighth child. And then who intervened?
Narada.
You could say it's Narada's fault. But how is it Krishna's fault?
Krishna's feeling that way, it's above.
If Krishna's feeling that way, it's above.
He's doing it's all my fault. Because of how they said I was going to kill and now they're suffering. It's like something we do all the time.
Okay, so what Krishna's saying, because it's my fault because they said they would be, that Kamsa would be killed. And so I found this very interesting about how the Lord here is taking responsibility. I mean, in one sense, yes. Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchitanandavigraha Sarva Karna Karna. I am the cause of all causes. So in one sense, Krishna is the only cause responsible for everything. I mean, we could say that. Every single thing that happens, ultimately, Krishna is the sole cause. However, for him to say, I'm to blame, and as Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are saying, that he's showing repentance, and now I'm going to rectify this by going to Mathura, and I'm going to kill Kamsa. So this is very astonishing, but I felt there was something that we could learn from this. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.14, there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. So if we understand that Krishna is talking about I'm responsible, he's not talking about this in the way that we conditioned souls think that we're responsible at all. Krishna is not under the modes of material nature. And when we understand how Krishna is feeling some responsibility. We can also feel responsibility in the same way. And in this way, we can become free, as Krishna says, from the reactions of karma. We can become liberated. Of course, we Vaishnavas are not interested in liberation for its own sake. We're interested in liberation as part of our service to Krishna. We cannot serve Krishna properly if we are under the illusion of Maya. But by definition, does that make sense to everybody? The illusion of Maya is that I'm an independent controller, I'm separate from Krishna. So we need to be out of this illusion in order to serve Krishna. So I thought I'd look at the three modes of nature and transcendence in terms of this concept of blaming and assigning responsibility for difficulties. I mean, Vasudeva and Devaki went through a lot of difficulties. This was not trivial. You know, every one of us has gone through some difficulty in our life, I would assume, yes? We've had some sickness in our life, maybe we had some injury, we had some misunderstanding with another human being or human beings, and sometimes that can be extremely distressing. Maybe we had some financial difficulty, or, you know, we had some kind of difficulty in our life, right? Like my daughter just had this dental surgery. I had similar surgery done many, many years ago, and I didn't have anyone go with me, and on my way back home, my car broke down, like totally broke down. I was able to limp it into a repair station, and they looked at it, and they said, this is not fixable. Right? And so there I was with my face swelling up and terrible pain, hitchhiking a ride on the highway to get home. You know, so we've had difficulty in life. But difficulty like Vasudeva and Devaki, I mean, there's not any comparison between any difficulty that I've gone through in my life, and I could tell you my woes for a few weeks. But even if you heard all of the difficulties that I've encountered, they're not anywhere close to this. You know, you're put in jail, you're innocent, you haven't done anything wrong whatsoever, and you're put in jail by the government, and then your children are murdered in front of you one after another. So, who are we going to blame for this? Right? If we can just try to take whatever difficulty we've been in life and multiply it a few thousand times. And, you know, our tendency is that we want to figure out the cause. Isn't that a fact? Right? When I had that problem with who was the cause? Was it my fault for going to the dentist alone? Was it my husband's fault that he didn't come pick me up and he told me I had to find my way home somehow or another? Was it the fault of the car manufacturer that the car broke down? Whose fault was it? You know, we immediately do this, and we do this whenever we hear about difficulty with other people as well, right? Whenever I hear somebody's had some difficulty, I immediately try to assign a cause. Oh, well, they didn't have a proper diet, or they should have done this, or they should have done this, or don't we all do that? Yeah? Okay. So let's look at this and see if we can figure out what's the reality. So let's first look at tamaguna. So I'm going to go up in this class. So tamaguna is full of vengeance and insulting and hatred. Tamaguna is also full of laziness. You know, like a tamaguna person, if they're watching shows on TV and they can't find their remote control, they'll just watch whatever comes next rather than get up and find the remote. That's a tamaguna mentality. You know, if they go to McDonald's and there's a healthy vegetarian option that's the same price, they might buy it. But if it's a little bit more money or they have to go to another restaurant, they won't bother. Does this make sense to everybody? That's Tom. They're only going to do what's easy. And the mood is, again, in tamaguna, you're expert at insulting others. And you react very strongly to any perceived insult. Think about a poison ivy plant. You just touch the thing and it makes you suffer for a couple weeks. You know, so that's this tamagun. So tamagun is very focused on blame. So the lowest level of tamagun is other people or the world or circumstances are responsible for all of my suffering. It's the fault of, you know, whoever's in government, it's the fault of the police, it's the fault of my parents, it's the fault of just the way the world is made. If the fault is all external to me and I can't do anything about it except complain. Follow, just, you know, it's all someone else's fault and I'm going to complain. Next level of tamagun, but still in tamagun, is it's all my fault, but it's my fault because I'm just a terrible person. I'm a broken person, I'm just an evil person, I'm just a selfish person, and I can't do anything about it. It's just the way I am. I'm just an awful person, and that's why I suffer. I'm fat because I just can't control my senses, and I overeat. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, I'm addicted to alcohol because I'm just a terrible person, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's all my fault. And you can see that both of these are helplessness. Yes? Very much similar to, I can't find the remote control, what can I do? I just have to watch whatever's on, I can't do anything about it. And often in tamagun, a person vacillates between these two. I'm a terrible person and I can't do anything about it, and it's all other people's fault and I can't do anything about it. So it's very much focused on this hopelessness and this kind of depression, not necessarily like clinical depression, but a kind of depressed, hopeless, fatalistic mentality. Now, we can see that sometimes, just like what Gopiladev says, one can do bhakti in any of the modes. Sometimes something that looks like bhakti is actually tamagun, because weeds can look like bhakti. So this helpless self-blame, we can think is humility. And this helpless blame of everyone else, we can think, oh, that's an honest assessment of the material world. But actually, it's tamagun. I'm suffering because it's just, the world is just a place of suffering. Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Shasvatam, that's why I'm suffering. And I can't do anything about it. Or Ichidvesha, I'm covered with desire and hatred, and I'm just a terrible person, and I can't do anything. Alright, does that sound like a fun place to live? And it's interesting that even though it's not a fun place to live, we sometimes live there. Isn't it? Right? What do we think we're tasting when we live there? Because Prabhupada says everything we do is motivated by rasa. So if one is in this tamagun mood about trying to find the cause of suffering, what do you think is the rasa a person's trying to taste? Some idea? Karuna rasa, which is lamentation. Right? The real karuna rasa is when Ram and Lakshman are lamenting that Sita's been kidnapped. Or even here, in today's verse where Krishna is lamenting, I have caused this problem for my parents. And it's very sweet, it's full of love. But in tamagun, this lamentation, and it could also be anger, roja rasa. I'm angry at myself, I'm angry at the government. Right, people get so angry at the government, they go out on protests, or sometimes they riot. Yeah? Alright, let's go to Rajagun. So Rajagun is more taking initiative. Rajagun is action. Rajagun is, I'm going to do something about it. And Rajagun is interested in justice. I was just hearing Prabhupada say that when the government punishes a criminal, it's not violence, it's justice. So in Rajagun, at the lowest level, somebody may think, yes, everyone else is to blame. The blame is external to me. But I have some control over how I respond to it. In Tamaguna, it's like it's everyone else's fault or it's my fault and I can't do anything about it. I just have to suffer. In Rajaguna, it's everyone else's fault, but I can do something. I can work for justice. I can work for this cause. I can work for that. I can be the doer. I can be the doer to fix things. And that's one of the main impetuses behind Rajaguna. And it's much better than Tamaguna, especially if one's working for justice. And far, far better. Rajaguna is far, far better than Tamaguna. It's still suffering, and it's still illusion, but it's a big step up. And in Rajaguna, one also can come to the conclusion that I can control how I feel about it. So the helplessness is gone. You know, I can control how I can punish others, and I can control my own feelings. Higher up in Rajaguna, a higher level of Rajaguna, is I just focus on justice without blaming. I don't hate others. So the lower level of Rajaguna, I'm still hating others. I'm hating the criminals. I'm hating the government. I'm hating my parents. I'm still have this sort of hatred, but I try to do something about it. I don't just feel a helpless victim. And higher level of Rajaguna, I'm just purely acting on the platform of justice. I don't hate the people and the circumstances that cause me to suffer. I don't hate myself if I cause me to suffer. But I'm working for justice. I'm working for rectification. And I'm responding without blaming. All right, now let's look at Satguru. Now, how about Rajaguna? How do we feel when we are in Rajaguna? Agitated, isn't it? Yeah, probably uses that word, agitated. Like, what do we mean when we're agitated? Like, if you're in a place that's really, really hot. Yesterday, we had some trouble getting the fan to turn on in the greenhouse, and it was so hot in there. So I'm fiddling with the thermostat trying to get it to work, and it's so hot. And after like 5 minutes of failure, I had to go out of the greenhouse for a while. It was just like, that's a feeling of being agitated, yes? So in Rajaguna, one has this constant feeling. It's like, it's a feeling of like there's an urgent crisis. And I have to fix it. I have to fix it. In Tamaguna, like, I can't fix anything. Can't fix others. Can't fix myself. It's all just awful. And Rajaguna is like, I can fix it. They're terrible people, but I can fix it. I'm a terrible person, but I can fix it. Or a little higher level of Rajaguna is, I'm not going to hate anybody. I'm not going to wish ill for anybody, but I can fix it. And I can fix it. I can have justice in the world. And that also can masquerade as bhakti, that mood. Alright, then we have sattva-guna. So sattva-guna is all about balance and learning and progression. So in sattva-guna, the lower level of sattva-guna is I am also creating all my situations. As they say in today's spiritual circles, I'm a co-creator. I'm responsible for everything that happens to me through my past choices and my present choices. And therefore, what I can focus on doing is learning my lessons and changing myself inwardly as a person, changing my motivations. In Rajaguna, one is focused much more on changing one's actions rather than changing one's inner motives. Can you discern the difference? Rajaguna isn't very inward looking. In Rajaguna, you're going to learn more, like, you know, different techniques of speaking and acting in the world to try to change yourself and others. And in Sattva-guna, you're going to look more at your inner disposition. And in Sattva-guna, it's like, wait a minute, whatever suffering I'm experiencing, it's due to something that I'm doing at present and or in the past. And therefore, I'm not going to blame myself because I just didn't know. I was in ignorance, and I'm not going to blame others. I'm simply going to focus on how to adjust my consciousness and my dealings with the world. Then a higher level of sadhu is understanding I'm a spiritual being. Because at a lower level of sadhu, one can still just think I'm a human. That's who I am. At a higher level of sadhu, one understands I'm a soul. I'm a soul in this human body. And I have, my life here has a purpose. My purpose is to discover myself and to discover my real identity. And again, this concept that I am the creator of everything that I am experiencing. I am a co-creator of everything I'm experiencing through my past karma, through my present behaviors, and not just that I want to change my internal disposition. So lower levels of sattva-guna, one is just thinking, I want to become forgiving. I want to become compassionate. I want to become equal poised. I want to become free from attachment and aversion. Higher levels of sattva-guna is I want to realize myself. I want to realize that I am spirit, that I am Brahman. I don't just want to become forgiving and equal poised. Now, again, bhakti can be done in a mood of sattva-guna. Yes? And we find that as well. We find that there are devotees that are really focused on gaining these inner dispositions. And we see, again, devotees in all of these, according to what the people did, we expect better. We ourselves may find that we also, in bhakti, are doing bhakti in these different modes. And as Krishna says, the modes are always vying for supremacy. So sometimes I may be doing bhakti while I'm in the mode of ignorance. The material world just stinks, and I stink, and everything's lousy, and bad. Says that right about you. And you know, sometimes I may be doing bhakti in the mode of passion. Let's lock up all the criminals who appear to be devotees, and let's change the government, and I'm going to learn better how to deal with other people, and I'm going to learn this technique, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to have justice in the world for Krishna. And sometimes we're in the mode of goodness, and we're thinking, yeah, you know, I just didn't have the right mentality. And I've got to have the right mentality. I've got to just let go of my attachment and aversion. And I've just got to be more in balance with the Lord. And I've just got to be more in balance with creation. And that's what Krishna says. You know, if you're in this mood, 6:20, you know, then you're free from all difficulties. But all of that is in the mood. How do we feel when we're in sattva? We feel kind of peaceful and happy, right? When we're in sattva. However, there's some pride in sattva. Ha ha! Look at those people in Rajas and Tamas. I know that it's all within. I'm not running around agitated trying to fix the world, and I'm not just sitting around depressed. I am happy. And I am full of knowledge, right? So Krishna says one becomes conditioned by happiness and knowledge. And in one sense, sattva is the stepping stone. It's the diving board. It's the, Jack Marsh says, it's the airport. But in another sense, sattva can be very bewildering. And we see that it's often people who are really in sattva who don't take up Krishna consciousness. Because they think they're already Krishna conscious. You know, when you're in Rajas, you feel the agitation. When you're in Tamas, you feel the depression. But when you're in Sattva, you just think, I'm happy and I know everything. So it has its bewildering quality as well. All right, what is bhakti? How does one, because Krishna says in 4:14, if we understand how he is taking responsibility, how he thinks, then we can also be free. So bhakti has something in common with sattva. That I am a soul having a human experience, and that all the difficulties I am undergoing are due to my previous and past actions, that whatever I am suffering is due to some bad actions or bad mentality that I have at present or in the past. So it shares that in common with Sattva, and the devotee also shares in common with Rajas that they want justice in the world. We have these great devotees like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Maharaj Prithu, so many examples in the Bhagavatam, that definitely want there to be justice for evildoers. It's not that we just say to all the murderers and rapists and arsonists and thieves, you know, nobody's to blame. But we do call the police and have them arrested and so forth. And we also actually share something with Thomas that we see that the nature of this material world, Dukkha and Shastitam, is that there are going to be externally difficult situations. But the devotee is full not just of a little bit of happiness of sattva. The devotee is still sattva. I think of the happiness of sattva as like about the size of a basketball. Like it's just kind of, it's very restricted. But the happiness of bhakti, Anandamivardhana, I love her, Bhaktisiddhanta says that although the jiva is infinitesimal, that when the jiva is connected to the Lord, the happiness of the jiva is infinite. I mean, for one to be satisfied with the happiness of sattva is really sad. It's a very unfortunate situation. And I often compare sattva to the view you get looking out a window. So we look out this window, we have such a nice view of the trees and the air. But if you go outside, the view is more expansive. You will never get the same view looking out the window as you're going to get going outside. So the difference in bhakti is that one sees, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita 15:15 purport, that God is all good and God is all merciful. One actually doesn't see any suffering at all. At all. One doesn't just see, oh, I'm learning some lessons from suffering. One really doesn't experience suffering. One doesn't really experience misfortune. Otherwise, how could Kunti say, give me these troubles again and again? I mean, is she crazy? Is she, you know, masochistic? She doesn't see them as troubles. She sees them as ecstasy. She sees them as opportunities to be with Krishna, being his lila. The devotee sees everywhere that there's service, and that I am a servant. In Satsang, one just thinks, what lessons can I learn? It's very me-centered. How can I improve myself? How can I learn my lessons? Yeah? I mean, those in Rajaguna are thinking like that externally. How can I fix my behavior? And those in Sattvaguna are thinking, how can I fix my behavior and my mentality? But it's still very me-centered. Those in Bhakti are thinking, what can I do to make Krishna happy in this situation? Not just, how can I be free from suffering? In the modes, one is just thinking, how can I be free from suffering? In Tamaguna, you think, well, I can't be. Or maybe I can be free from suffering just by complaining or something. But in bhakti, one is not really focused on being free from suffering. In bhakti, one is focused on how can I please Krishna. And that's the ultimate sense of taking responsibility. Just think about this for a minute. So we think in tamaguna, I'm taking responsibility by hating myself or by hating others. In Rajaguna, we're thinking, I'm taking responsibility by trying to fix others or trying to fix myself externally. In Sattvaguna, we're thinking, I'm taking responsibility by working on my consciousness. But in Bhakti, one's thinking, I'm taking responsibility by trying to please Krishna. Because ultimately, yes, Sarva Karma Karma, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Ultimately, it's not Kamsa. Ultimately, it's not this person. Ultimately, it's not that person. Ultimately, it's not even me. Ultimately, it's just Krishna, and everything that Krishna does is good. There is no question that anything that Krishna does is harmful. This morning, I was hearing Prabhupada talking about how Krishna is surit. You know, we have different kinds of friends. We have social friends, acquaintances, right? Casual friends, whatever. But Krishna is this very dear friend. He's in the heart. Prabhupada was saying how he follows us in all species of life. Krishna never wishes ill for any living entity. So the devotee doesn't just see what is my lesson. They see that. They don't just see what is justice. They see that. And they don't just see that the world is the world. They see that. But they're saying, there's some opportunity here for service. And there's an opportunity here for me to be a servant. What is the opportunity? And that is the same question one asks in so-called happiness and so-called distress in this world. If somebody gave you, you know, somebody, this actually happened to Rameshwar. So this is a very funny story. So Rameshwar, many years ago, as a brahmachari in Los Angeles, he was working for the BBT, and he gave a Sunday feast class, and then he went back to his room, and he's in his room, and somebody knocks on the door. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. He's just about to go to bed. He opens the door, and there's some very man in a business suit, you know. Looks like middle class educated man in a business suit, and said, "I really liked your class, I want to give you something." Hands him a briefcase and leaves. Rameshwar opens the briefcase and finds $250,000 in cash. So he calls another member of the BBT, I forget who it was, 10 o'clock at night, "Come to my room." So that devotee came to his room and said, "What do we do? What do we do?" And they said, "Let's not tell," it's a true story, so I'm just going to tell you the story to this. "Let's not tell the temple authorities about this. Let's immediately put it into the BBT," because they work for the BBT. So the very next day, they went and put it in the BBT's account, and that same day, they signed a contract with a printer to print 1 million copies of the Bhagavad Gita. And that day, that same day, the printer said, "We're going to put aside all of our other projects, and we're going to print that 1 million copies. And it was the first 1 million print in the history of print. Okay, next day, Rameshwar is in his room, and this big black car pulls up. And these guys say, "Somebody gave you something that wasn't theirs to give. We want it back." He said, "Sorry, it's gone." He said, "It's gone." And they didn't believe him. He said, "What did you spend it on?" He said, "Printing 1 million Bhagavad Gitas." And the printer had already started the 1 million print run. It was gone. And they didn't believe him. Anyway, he proved it to them. He actually, you know, contacted the printer at the bank. They were so impressed that he didn't spend one penny of it for himself. He said, "I'm a monk, what am I going to do?" He said, "All right, forget it." So if a thing like that, somebody hands you $250,000, you're going to think, what's the service here? What's the service Krishna wants me to do? And how am I a servant if you were to suddenly get free of whatever diseases may be bothering you? You immediately think, right? Imagine if tomorrow you woke up like Kuja and you were. You're immediately going to think, what's the service here, right? And how can I be a servant? And the same way, if your house burns down and somebody steals all your money and you're paralyzed for life, you're going to think, what's the service here? And how can I be a servant? I was thinking that yesterday when I was showing a presentation on surrender, and we had that recording of singing Bhakti Vinod's song and how their brother became a quadriplegic when he jumped into the Ganga. And he saw what's the service and how can I be a servant? What's the service and how can I be a servant? And that is the ultimate way of saying, how can I take responsibility for the things in my life? Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.